The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
In order to all our listeners in Canterbury and the Wairarapa and the top of the South Island, and a very happy new year to you. Now, it might seem strange I'm wishing you a happy new year when this is the third episode of Climate Matters this year, but it's actually the first one I'm recording since that we turned into 2026. So I do wish everybody a productive 2026. And here's what we're going to cover today. We're going to cover Climate Matters number 144, and the content of that one, and it was actually issued in December, so we're running a little bit behind on that. The inspirational young, or mostly young people, at Lighthouse Aotearoa, and then a great collection of user-friendly ways to engage with climate. That's a lead to another website. From the Can You Believe It Files, number one, listening to the soil and to animals walk, announcing our Valentine's Day love letter to the world poetry competition. I'm going to go into that right away. And then from the Can You Believe It Files, number two, who owns the Arctic Ocean? A hotter tip for a cooler planet. And then even more on the great cost-benefit ratio of cycling infrastructure. And finally, an insightful retrospective from a lifelong journalist. Now, I said I'm going to start with the Love Letter to the World poetry competition. Although it was announced in December, this was probably the first time you will have heard about it on Fresh FM or Plains Media or on Arrow Media. But basically, Climate Matters is running its second Love Letter to the World poetry competition. It closes on Valentine's Day this year. What other day would you close a love letter competition? There is information both in Climate Matters number 144, which today's episode is about, and also in 145, which just went out a couple of days ago. I'm recording this on the 6th of January. Links to both of those Climate Matters will be in the show notes that go up on the Fresh FM website for this show. Anyway, do give it a go. There are some really good prizes. There's a junior category and there is an open category. And we'd love to get entries, a good thing to do to fill out the holiday period. But the entries have to be emailed to me by the 14th of February. That's Valentine's Day. I'll give you my email address, Lindsay, Lindsay, at resilience, resilience, resilience.co.nz. There are lots of other terms and conditions and more information, and a lovely example of a Rupi Kaur's great love letter to the world poem that was the inspiration for our very first Valentine's Day poetry competition. Do hope we get some entries from you. Okay, let's get into the first item, which is a big thumbs up for Lighthouse Aotearoa. I only encountered Lighthouse Aotearoa during Nelson Tasman Climate Forum's screening of Future Council, and they had a youth group give as a panel after that great movie. And the youth group was from Lighthouse Aotearoa, and I was so impressed I invited them to come on to Climate Matters. So hopefully some of you will have heard the interviews with them, and if you're anything like me, you will have been impressed with their not only their motivation and passion, but also their level of knowledge. And also a big shout out to Will Stovall, who is their organizer. By the way, Will will be one of the judges for the poetry competition I've just been talking about. The other judge will be Bruce Gilkison, who is well known to many in the climate space in the top of the South. Anyway, I hope you heard those interviews and got something out of them. And good luck to Lighthouse Aotearoa. Right, moving on, a terrific catalogue of climate resources. Now, I've referenced Catherine Hayhoe a few times. She runs a great newsletter. And she ran an end-of-year special, which we'll give a link to in the show notes. she offers terrific compilation of different ways to engage with climate issues. There are books and podcasts and newsletters and other activities, such as we'll give a link to a very short, very punchy video called "We're Still Here, So Climate Change Must Be a Scam," right? That's not by Catherine Hayhoe, that's by someone that she links to. So I do encourage anybody who wants to dip their toes into different ways of learning about climate or experiencing it or whatever, do go on the show notes and find the link to Catherine Hayhoe's great newsletters. Righty-ho, carrying on, I'm going to give a quote from George Monbiot. Many of you will know who he is, but for those that don't, he's a very experienced and very punchy commentator who writes in various places, but notably in The Guardian. I'm quoting from him. "I had stumbled into a knowledge gap so wide that humanity could fall through it. Soil is a fantastically complex biological structure." And that's him, a quote I took from his article, which is appealingly entitled "Over a Pint in Oxford." It's in The Guardian, and it describes what he called a eureka moment, which led to a program known as the Earth Rover Program, which took its inspiration from the Mars Rover a probe. And George Monbiot describes using seismographs, and for those that don't know what they are, they're the devices that measure earthquakes, to identify animals by their footfall, being able to recognize what animal is walking from the seismograph reading, and then getting an instant assessment of elusive soil metrics, such as the moisture content and some of the composition and so on. And they have evolved this to the point of using a smartphone to listen to someone whacking a steel plate laid on the ground, i.e. simulating a mini earthquake. And staggeringly, they've also reduced the cost of the sensors from an initial $10,000 each down to $100. Wow, that's good. Down to $10. Oh, that's so amazing. Down to free. So that's incredible. Do have a read of Over a Pint in Oxford. There's a link in the show notes. Okay, I have talked about the Love Letter to the World poetry competition. Do give it a go and have a read of Rupi Kaur's great poem if you go on the actual copy of Climate Matters number 144. The main criteria for your information: an entry is free. You can have as many entries as you like. Maximum length, please, of 30 lines. There is no limit to how many each person can put in. I mentioned the two categories. The junior one is to and including 13 years old on Valentine's Day 2026. Poems must be sent in as a PDF attachment. I'll give my email address again. It's Lindsay, Lindsay, at resilience, resilienz, resilience.co.nz. Each entry must be clear as to which category it's in, and they have to be received by me by Saturday, the 14th of February. Please entitle the subject of your email poetry competition. Okay, I still advise you to go and look at the terms and conditions, because there's one or two more things that you should be aware of. A quick quote from Larry Ward, who's a senior Plum Village Dharma teacher, and it fits well with the idea of a poetry competition. "Use your tears to put out the fires scorching the earth, and your breath to redirect the waters of your heart towards wellness, justice, and harmony." Rolling on into quite a different space, can you believe it? Number two, who owns the Arctic Ocean? Now, this came out of an amazing event called the National Emergency Briefing. I'll talk a little bit more about that. But in an incredible spin on the impacts of the climate crisis at that briefing, Lieutenant General Richard Nugie described the huge extent to which the Arctic sea ice is reducing And then, amazingly, this is the Can You Believe It? He described Russia as claiming that the entire Arctic Ocean is really a Russian inland sea, while everybody else classifies it as international waters. Now, I wouldn't have a clue how that's going to play out, but it's yet another reason to do our utmost to reverse our homes overheating, as if we didn't have reason enough. And just for your information, I'm reading for the second time Peter Brannan's amazing book, The Story of CO2 is the Story of Everything. And he describes how the Arctic Ocean is one of the most rapid to respond to changes in temperature, and many times that of other areas. And so that again puts a spotlight on this. By the way, there is in the actual online copy of Climate Matters is a map that shows the Arctic Ocean and will let you see just what Lieutenant General Nuji was talking about. Right, here's a hotter tip for a cooler planet. And as I've just mentioned the National Emergency Briefing, I'm encouraging people to listen to or watch Dave Borlase, who's a well-known UK climate commentator. Watch him report on that remarkable event. It's a very good summary. It's 26 minutes in which he gives excerpts from several of the different speakers, as well as giving his own comments. And I really suggest that you actually have engaged with that and have a look at it. Rolling on from there, I talked about the fact that there's even more benefits to cycling infrastructure. We had a cycling special on Climate Matters not long ago. But here, and I'm going to start with a quote from a new report, quoting, and this is a New Zealand report, "Retailers generally overestimate the importance of on-street parking outside shops. Shoppers valued high-quality pedestrian and urban design features in shopping areas more than they valued parking." That's from the December 2025 Cycling Infrastructure Report that will be linked in the show notes, i.e. that is saying that the classic objection to making pedestrian areas that people want to get their cars outside shops is actually nothing like as important as the quality of the public area that's left, especially by getting cars out of it. Here are some of the more benefits from that. The key people who seem unaware of the staggeringly good investment offered by good cycling infrastructure and think better than a 10-to-1 return on the investment are the politicians who spend precious national funds on roads with a staggeringly poor return on investment think that they struggle to reach 1-to-1. That is, they struggle to return as much as they cost to put in. Now, it was Climate Matters 140 that had a whole lot of references to cycling infrastructure. This is yet another one. And it really does emphasize how much better economically cycling infrastructure is than roading infrastructure, to say nothing of the fact that it's much more pleasant, encourages better health, and actually greatly reduces those jolly emissions that we've got to get down. Now we come to the last item, the swan song of a longtime journalist and editor-in-chief. And that is perhaps a fitting closing one for us here today. Paul Brown was the lead editor or the chief editor at The Guardian for many time after a 45-year career as an environmental journalist and then as editor-in-chief. I'll start with a quote from him. "I have watched politicians failing yet and yet again." And that's one of the quotes from his article. I suggest you read it if you've got an interest in democracy, or if you're interested in the environment, or if you're interested in journalism. I urge you to read Paul Brown's comment. It was written from his hospital bed following a diagnosis with a terminal disease. It was his last article or post for The Guardian. So it was written by someone who not only had huge experience, but he had nothing personal to gain or to lose by pulling his punches. It offers rare and really authoritative insights. I do encourage you to read it. Here's a quote from him Just to close off this episode of Climate Matters, here's from Paul Brown in his final article. This pattern of politicians learning the inconvenient truths of climate change and then falling short in the actions required to solve the problem has continued ever since. In fact, with the recent advent of blatant climate deniers, it has got far worse. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Climate Matters. Thanks very much for your company, wherever you are, in Canterbury or Nelson or Tasman or the Wairarapa or Marlborough. I do hope you got something out of it. I do hope you've got those poetry pens scribbling away and that you get some entries in before the 14th of February. In any event, thanks for your company. I hope I have it again next week. And of course, kia kaha for the climate. As you know, Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz and podcasts of Climate Matters and other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.